Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Dr. Nina Burns is here for this Monday's Ask the GP. Nina, of course, is from the Generation Health Medical Clinic. She's a GP there here to answer your questions. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. My sister-in-law thinks that she may have tendinopathy. How common is this condition and what can be done for it, Nina? What is it, first of all?
So tendinopathy is when you get inflammation of your tendons, which basically are just attaching. They're kind of at the joints and they attach your muscle to bone. So you can get a stretching. So some people think they might have damaged the bone or some people think they've strained. So it's classically the pain that people associate with the strain, I suppose, is the easiest way to describe it. Very common. So it's often an injury based. So I suppose it's very hard to answer that question without more specific detail, but it's what we call a musculoskeletal pain. So it might be an ache that's there when you move or when you use a particular joint. Physiotherapy is always a good place to start with those kind of pains, assuming you don't have any sort of sudden change or swelling or temperatures or it's not really hot. And they can often just assess the muscles, assess the way you use a joint, because quite often it might be that you're just, there's an imbalance in the way you're using it or you're straining it because you're kind of using it differently because you've injured it. So they can usually give you exercises that support healing, and it often settles down. Very rarely, you know, you need scans and maybe injections, and very, very rarely people need surgery because there's a more serious injury to the joint itself. But these are very common for a whole host of reasons.
Okay. So it is common. It's more common than probably.
Yeah. And it can happen anywhere in the body. I mean, you can have it, you know, you can have it in your, in say your ankles, your knees, your elbows, your wrists. And then in your back, you can get straining. You know, some of the people, when they get that mid back pain, it can be kind of inflammation of the tendons around there. So physiotherapy is always a good place to start with that kind of pain.
Now, this listener says, I'm a woman in my 50s. I have a hernia for years above my belly button. It's now started to pop out more, makes me feel quite bloated and heavy. I'm not overweight. Should I have it removed?
So first of all, you don't have hernias removed. So a hernia is actually a gap in the tissue below your skin, where a bit of bowel bulges out. Okay, so you can get them at your belly button, obviously. That's an area because, you know, when you're born, that your umbilicus, so your belly button, is actually the bit that attaches you to your mother. So it is a tiny hole that eventually tightens up. They can happen down in the groin. They're called inguinal hernias there. So what they do is when they repair them is they actually put a mesh in to kind of cover that gap so the bowel is not bulging out. So hernias in themselves aren't a problem. If there's a little gap and the bowel bulges and it's soft and you can push it back, in theory, that's not a problem. But the risk is, I suppose, that the bulge can get bigger. And the real danger is that the bowel will come out and get stuck. And that's an emergency. So if you have this little gap, go to your doctor. They can assess it for you. But if it's starting to get painful, and particularly if it ever comes out, it's painful and you can't push it back, actually, you need to go to A&E with that. But if it's starting to come out more, a little bit uncomfortable, and you can push it back, it's definitely looking at maybe getting it repaired. So they don't remove them, they repair them. But it sounds like if that's starting to get uncomfortable, it's definitely worth going to see your doctor and see, does something need to be done about it?
Okay, listener gets a pain in their chest anytime they lie on their left side from my heart. So I always just lie on my right or my back. I'm 41, I'm very active. I play sport 4 times a week, but I feel it's a bit strange.
So I guess if it's just a pain when you lie on your left side, it's not necessarily your heart. And so heart pain as such, you know, if there's any issue with the blood flow to the heart and that, you would normally expect that pain to happen more commonly on exertion. So if this person can play sports 4 times a week and that pain doesn't arise, that's quite reassuring. If it's just when you lie on your left side, it could actually be the muscle or the bone or, again, tendons that we've talked about earlier. But I suppose any unusual pain, do go and get examined. Your doctor can examine you. They'll do a basic heart check for you and then talk more about the symptoms and see maybe there are some reasons to check out the heart a bit more, to check out the blood vessels maybe coming from the heart, and, you know, checking your blood pressure and that kind of thing. And then they can also just check and see, does it look like it's musculoskeletal? And sometimes this is pain actually coming from your back. It can be your mid-thoracic area, which is the kind of between your shoulder blades part of your spine. And that pain can radiate. So again, I'd always say if you have a pain that's unusual and not going away, it does need to be checked.
Needs to be checked out. Now, my eyes stream water a lot. It drives me mad. It's mostly in the mornings, especially if I look at my phone or there's any bit of wind. Is there anything I can do? Asks the doctor.
That's really common this time of year, especially now as the weather gets hotter, you know, with hay fever or allergy. And we talk about hay fever, people think of summer, but actually it's just allergic conjunctivitis. So your eyes getting irritated. I wonder, does this person sleep with their window open? Because pollen counts are classically higher first thing in the morning. So if you're an allergy person, you should have your windows closed, which I know is hot, is is hard in this kind of weather. So yes, the answer quickly is that you can get eye drops, go to the pharmacy. There are some over the counter drops you can use for allergies. If they're not working, do go to your doctor. There are lots of drops we can prescribe and they can be incredibly helpful actually for the eye symptoms of hay fever.
Now, listener recently had an ear infection, which is now cleared up thanks to antibiotics, but now my ear feels a bit blocked. It has that feeling as though I'm flying. It's not sore or even uncomfortable. It is just a tad blocked, but any tips?
Yeah, so quite often people think it's an infection when their ear is bothering, but the most common thing with the ear is actually congestion. So what happens is you have a tube that goes from the back of the nose to just inside your ear called your eustachian tube. And if you're anyways congested in your sinuses, again, this type of ear, hay fever, if you've had a cold or flu and it's inflamed, it can almost block off that tube and it puts pressure back into your ear. So it is exactly what happens when you're flying. So that's what the feeling that you get. So actually clearing your nose and then maybe taking an antihistamine or simple over-the-counter ways. You can buy nasal sprays, over-the-counter antihistamine. Means they can really help. And again, if that's not working, have a chat with the pharmacist or go to see your GP. There are some prescription nasal sprays. Yeah. We can give sprays into the nose to help this actually.
Now, maybe this is a little similar. My son, who is 16, never suffered from allergies, but the last 3 weeks is a constant bunged up nose, hearing very muffled at times and an extremely bad cough. I'm wondering, is the cough bark related? It's phlegm, yellow, feels quite chesty. Any suggestions?
But again, if there's a cough going on a few weeks and they're coughing up coloured sputum, it's definitely worth going to the doctor. They can have a listen to the chest and make sure there's no chest infection. You know, if they're not having a fever, if they're otherwise well, it's certainly worth trying something like an antihistamine. It can be very helpful. Again, this time of year, allergies and congestion are incredibly common. Sometimes what happens is you get the congestion beds in and then on the back of that, the infection beds in. And sometimes you need to treat both. So try the antihistamines, but if they really have a bad cough and they're bringing up an awful lot of phlegm and feeling off, they definitely need their chest listened to, which means a trip to the doctor.
I had eye surgery as a child. Now at nearly 40, the vision in my left eye is still noticeably weaker than my right. It also doesn't focus properly, especially when I'm tired. Is there any way to improve or restore the vision in that eye at this stage, or is it unlikely it'll happen?
So again, I'd probably need to know information.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you've had eye surgery in the past, I'm sure your GP knows your full history and can talk to you about it. And, you know, if you have not gone back to have the eyes formally checked in a long time, it might be worth doing. Obviously, opticians can check your eyes and make sure that it's not an adjustment in your glasses or something like that that needs to happen. But if this is, you know, if it's a change in your eyes, if they've been the same for a long time and they've suddenly changed, I wouldn't automatically be putting that down to the surgery you had years ago. Whereas if it's kind of they've just been the same all your life, it's very unlikely to change much in the future.
Is it a GP or the optometrist?
So I always say go to the optician and have a good eye assessment done. But then, you know, sometimes the optician, they work very closely with doctors, and then you'll go to your doctor. And obviously things like blood pressure and stuff can affect eyes. So it's a bit of both, to be honest, actually. Yeah.
So it's two trips, possibly.
Well, I'd start with your optician and bring your optician report to your GP. That's probably a good way to go.
Yeah. I woke up the other morning with a numbness in the back of my left hand. No bruising, full movement, no pain, just very sensitive in the back of my hand. All seems normal except for that numbness. Any thoughts on what I should do?
So if the numbness has persisted, I guess any sudden change in sensation definitely needs to be checked. And when we talk about the symptoms of stroke as being a sensory change now, you know, so that's something to keep in mind. If this is going on days, again, a trip to the doctor. Sometimes it's the way you sleep. When you say the back of your hand, so your fourth finger, kind of half your fourth finger and your fifth finger are supplied by one particular nerve that runs in the groove of your elbow. And sometimes actually it's people and they sleep with their arm bent and stuff, you can get some pressure on that and you can get almost like a numbness that goes from the elbow down. Now, if it's just from the elbow down, it's more local. If it's something kind of from the neck and the whole arm, that's different and it definitely needs to be checked.
Now, this is an interesting one. Listeners just looking for your advice. Please ask Nina if it's normal practice for surgeries to charge patients for consultants and referral letters. My doctor's surgery currently does, but I haven't heard of any other practice that does this.
So actually, yeah, so it's a question that comes up a lot because in my own surgery, so we undertake a lot of investigations in people and different surgeries are different. I like to investigate people. I don't like necessarily referring. So when patients come to me, and obviously this is only for private patients because this is covered for medical card patients. If I refer you for a test that I'm going to follow up, so if I'm referring you for a test or an investigation that I'm going to track down the result that I'm going to make the decision on, we charge a certain amount extra in the consult to do that. But if I'm referring you to a consultant or somebody else who is going to tell you what tests you need and follow up those tests, I don't charge extra. So I suppose, you know, there's no standard. Remember, GP practices are independent businesses and everyone we're not allowed to combine and set our rates together. But have a chat with your doctor. Like some of the patients have asked us about ours, and when I explain to them why I do it and I say, absolutely, I'm happy to refer you to someone and not charge you extra if you want them to undertake the tests. they're often happy to opt to pay the extra with us because it saves them time. And obviously, if they're going privately to see a consultant, they would pay a lot more than I'm charging to actually do the test.
So when you mean like if you're sending them for maybe a smear test or testing or
not
blood
so much
or
a
something.
Smear test because those are covered. But if I'm referring someone, say, to a hospital to have some kind of radiology scan done, or if they're going to have, you know, a gastroscopy or colonoscopy, something that I'm going to refer them for, and that result is going to come back to me. So we spend an awful lot of time chasing down results, chasing reports, interpreting reports. I think they've done some studies and show that GPs spend nearly as much time doing administration as they do actually seeing patients. Mm. So we charge €30 extra. It's a very small amount on the consult to cover the cost of doing that. If you went to see a private consultant and they advise you on the various tests that need to be done, you'll obviously pay several hundred maybe to get the same advice. So what I like to do is, if I'm going to refer someone to a consultant, is get all the information I need, do as much as I can as a GP, so that when I refer them to someone, they have all the tests to hand and the consultant doesn't have to arrange tests and bring them back. So it does save patients in the long run. So I'm not sure if that's what this person's GP is doing, but sometimes what seems like extra is actually saving you money in the long run.
Yeah,
but I think GPs are really open to having these conversations. I have no problem having a conversation with patients about that stuff.
Okay, Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. You can get more at their website at generationhealth.ie. You can find Nina at Dr. Nina Burns on X. Nina, thanks a million for joining us here on Ask the GP in Lunchtime Live this Monday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.